3, 2, 1, begin transmission.
Oh my God, there's no getting around it. It is 1930 UTC, the time at which the Dubious Goals Committee always begins. Therefore, I believe I shall begin. My name is Tobe. I'm the chairman of the Dubious Goals Committee. And I am sick. This cold, or whatever I have, has gotten worse. I'm not enjoying it in any way. Except perhaps for one. And that is, I'm actually drinking hot tea today. Because the iced tea I was drinking, I don't know, I think it was bothering me. Bothering my throat. That's the weird thing. My throat isn't sore anymore. But boy, my head, my sinuses are really stuffed up. And messed up, and I feel like crap. And so here I am, sitting here in front of the TV, doing nothing. What's on TV? Well, it's the Light Classical Music Channel. They're playing some Klingel. Okay. That seems unusual, but I guess they can't stick to Mozart and Bach all the time. Yay. Here comes Dipro Manipros. Where are you going, Dnipro Petrovsk? There goes the kitty going into the bathroom. Oh, man. I didn't sleep well either, because you know what the weird thing was is after about midnight last night, my sinuses were really cleared up, and I was like, wow, I actually feel kind of good. And so I felt good for about 3 hours. And then I started feeling tired and decided to lay down and try to go to sleep. And as soon as I went from being vertical to horizontal, I started coughing, and this lasted for about an hour. So I was up until 4 a.m. Could not go to sleep. Somehow, finally, I did. I don't remember what happened, or how that came about. But, yeah. Then I slept for a while, then woke up at like 7 a.m. Then I rolled over and I went back to sleep. And that got me to thinking, if I was a drug designer, if I was going to design a designer drug, I hate when people say designer drug. As much as I hate it when people say amp, let me check my amp. Yeah. I got your app right here, buddy. So anyway, I was thinking I want to design a drug that gives you that feeling of rolling over. Now, for me, that feeling of rolling over comes at about 6 to 7 a.m. For people who go to bed at a decent hour, I'm sure this is probably a feeling of around 2 or 3 a.m. But for me, this is especially a satisfying feeling because, you know, I wake up and I'm sore from laying on one side for too long and I roll over. And then there's that like 30 seconds where I'm just going, oh, yeah, this is awesome. I love that feeling. It's just, oh, yeah. So that's what I need. I need a drug, or I need to create a drug that gives you that feeling for like an hour. You know, you take a tiny little pill, or maybe it's like a, maybe it's like one of those cold inhalers that you stick up your nose. Do they even make those anymore? Remember those from the 70s and 80s? Vicks made one. I can't remember what it's called, but yeah, here, stick this up your nose and inhale. It's supposed to be good for you. It's maybe one of those, an inhaler. Just stick it up your nose and go. And then you have that feeling of, oh, I just rolled over and I'm falling back asleep. And you have that feeling for an hour. Oh, that would be so great. All right, they switched to Haydn. The London Trio. So anyway, then when I was laying there in that state of, oh, I just rolled over euphoria, I had another sort of odd idea. This is going to sound strange, but this makes some kind of sense if you're me. If you're not me, well, this will just be another one of those mysteries of life for you. I was thinking that I would like to sleep on sandpaper. Like 60 grit, maybe 80 grit sandpaper, maybe 100 grit, somewhere between like 30 and 100 grit sandpaper. I don't want a blanket made out of that. I just want the surface I'm sleeping on to be sandpaper. And I figure, let's see, I basically sleep in an area that is 2 square meters. So I need a 2 square meter piece of sandpaper. And I realize this sounds like it would be super uncomfortable or crazy or something, but you gotta remember this is me, and I am itchy most of the time due to my wonderful condition. Oh, wait. I need tea. Oh, hot tea. Hot tea in the summer. It's overcast today. It's only about 80 degrees right now outdoors. But I'm not going outside because I don't want to get hot, because then I won't be able to drink hot tea. Got to sit here and convince myself that I'm cold. So anyway, I think I would like to sleep on sandpaper for a number of reasons. Because one, when you roll over or even move, it's nice and scratchy. And so when I get itchy at night, I can just roll back and forth and scratch my itches. So it seems to me this would be ideal, sleeping on sandpaper. And so it makes me wonder, where does one go to buy square meter sheets of sandpaper? Because this doesn't exist. You know, when you buy sandpaper, it's a little 30 centimeter by 30 centimeter square. And I guess I could get a bunch of those and try to laminate them to something. I'm not doing that. Because, duh, sandpaper is made in giant rolls. When they make it, they make it in giant rolls, like they make all paper. And then they cut it down into sheets. So basically, if you know where a sandpaper factory is, let me know so I can go there and buy like 2 meters right off the roll. You know, I probably wouldn't even have to do that. I could probably go there and say, where do you keep the scrap ends that you have to cut off and stuff? Oh, we throw those in a dumpster out in the back. Can I have some of those? Yeah, go nuts, dude. Then I would go back and dig through the dumpster and get some sandpaper to sleep on. Now I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, Tobe, why would you go to all that effort? Why don't you just sleep in sand? Aha! Because sand is cheap. You can buy a ton of sand for a few dollars. Okay, well, one, I could do that. But first of all, if I had a pile of sand in my house, I would track sand everywhere. Two, if I did that, the cat would think, oh, look at this big new place I get where I can poop. Oh, this will be fun. And then I would be sleeping in cat poop. And I do not want to do that. Right, Pippa? Yeah. And besides, I already have another fantasy about sleeping in sand. I don't want to do it in my house. But I would go somewhere to do this. Perhaps you've seen this. And I can't give you an exact location. You're going to have to look this up. But in Japan, and probably in some other places, they have spas where geothermic heat is heating the sand up. You know, this is usually volcanic sand. And so people go to these spas and pay money to lay down in the sand and be buried up to their face in this warm sand. And then they stick an umbrella over your face so your face doesn't get sunburned. And then you just hang out. You just lay there. And I'm thinking, oh, that seems like a good idea. That seems like a really good idea. And that's the one bad thing about living where I live. There's no volcanoes. The closest volcano is, well, I guess technically speaking, the closest volcano to me is, you know, Yellowstone National Park. That's not a very active volcano. But it does have a lot of geothermic activity. Mostly geysers and water and stuff. Not enough sand. So maybe I could create a sandbox in which I just have this box of sand that I can bury myself in that's heated. You know, maybe run some hot water pipes through it. You know, like rich people do for their floors. You know, they have that heating in their floor. I just want a box of sand that I can lay in. Basically a sand coffin. So I can lay in my sand coffin and just be warm. Oh, that would be so great in the winter. And when my bones and joints ache, oh, just get into the sand and yay. That would be so great. So anyway. Yeah, I guess I would just like to thank the Japanese people once again for inventing the concept of sleeping in sand. Nice warm sand. I can just see two Japanese guys figuring this out for the first time, you know, about 500 years ago. Hi, Nobu. What are you doing? Well, I noticed that the sand is really warm. So I'm going to sleep in it, Ichiro. Cover me up with the sand so I can take a nap. Hey, that sounds like a good idea. Let's drink tea while we're doing it. Oh. Yeah, so just, you know, another reason why I need to go to Japan. So I can sleep in some hot volcanic sand. Oh, I bet that would cure me. I bet that would cure just about anyone. Oh, my joints are sore and crackly and poppy today. Oh my god. When I stood up for the first time this morning, about an hour ago, what did it sound like? It sounded like somebody breaking a bunch of spaghetti in their hands. Imagine holding an entire box of spaghetti in two hands and then breaking it. Or imagine walking through a bunch of dried out twigs. Crack, 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 crack. And it didn't stop until I was up in the kitchen putting my waffles in the toaster. Oh. So the only good thing about not really being able to fall asleep very good last night was that I was watching some more videos on YouTube. And something was recommended to me. Thanks, YouTube. Apparently YouTube thought I would want to watch the restoration of Hot Wheels cars. And I ignored that suggestion for the longest time yesterday. Until finally last night I decided to watch this. And so, you know, there's lots of shows on TV where they're still restoring cars. It's like, oh, we took this old car and we pimped our ride. Let's pimp. Let's pimp. Do you know what pimp means? I don't think you do. Ooh, I just bumped the thing with my elbow. That probably caused a clip. Yeah, so anyway, I've been delving slightly into Hot Wheels culture. And there are people out there who buy old Hot Wheels cars in poor condition. Apparently they buy them off eBay. And then they spend time and money to restore these. Where was I? Oh, yeah. So, guys, and I imagine women do this, too. I'm not trying to be sexist here, but guys will buy old, beat-up, just absolutely junk Hot Wheels cars and refurbish them. Basically, they drill out the rivets, take the body off, then, you know, strip the paint off, and then do some body work if necessary. You know, pound out dents, straighten things up, and they polish it up and buff it out, take out all the scratches and stuff, and then repaint it. Then reassemble the car and put new wheels on it. Straighten out the axles and stuff. And then you have, you know, pretty much a brand new car. And so I actually watched a couple of these and I thought, okay, well, this is kind of neat. This is kind of interesting to me. I'm a person who, although I don't really consider myself as a person who does a lot of modeling. I do delve into it on occasion. And I like models. I appreciate good jobs on models. And so it was kind of fun to see these restorations of these Hot Wheels cars. And I thought, that's kind of interesting. And I would almost want to do that myself. But I'm not into cars in any way, and I don't like Hot Wheels. I don't even own any. So it's kind of strange, but I appreciate that this exists. So then while I was watching these videos, oh yeah, you know how smart YouTube is. Once you start watching something, it thinks you want to watch other stuff. And the funny thing is, before I go on, I was watching this guy restore this car, and you know, he's choosing to repaint it the same color as it originally was, using the same kind of factory paint and everything. And I thought, well, why do that? And I realized, oh, well, he is restoring this car. And I thought, you know, I'd be tempted to customize him. I'd be tempted to put custom paint on, you know, maybe some custom decals, you know, customize these cars. If I was going to do it, that's what I'd be doing. That's the kind of stuff I like to do. You know, it's a little bit more creative. Restoring a car is not a creative process. You're just returning it to the way somebody else designed it. So after I got done watching these videos, there were suggestions for other videos that I saw custom monster truck conversion Hot Wheels, and I'm like, okay, here we go. Yeah, so I started watching videos of this guy who takes Hot Wheels cars and then customizes them, makes them into brand new custom vehicles. And it was fascinating to watch this process because, you know, the car gets taken apart and then it gets weathered. You know, it gets damaged, so it looks like it has damage. This guy was making, like, rat rods. He was making, like, Mad Max-type cars, so these cars were all really messed up. And the cool thing is he had, like, a laser cutter, and he would put the car bodies under the laser cutter and etch the paint, and he would put fake cracks in the windshield with his laser cutter and stuff. It was really cool. And he would cut like bullet holes in the bodies with the laser cutter and do all kinds of other stuff. What else did I see him do that was interesting? You know, he would modify bodies so he could put like bigger engines, bigger motors in the front of some of these cars and do crazy stuff like this. And I'm like, okay, I like that. And when he would do like monster trucks, he would, you know, build new axles and suspensions for these trucks out of what looked like paper clips, paperclip wire. Oh. God, I'm dying here. Still, we got 8 minutes to go. Jesus. And I thought, when I saw this, I thought, okay, now this is what I would like to do. This is very cool. And this guy did some really amazing work. And he's a big fan of weathering powders, but I did not like his technique. But that doesn't matter. You know, and plus the whole thing was, you know, dude, you can do that with paint a lot faster. But it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Everybody has their own way of doing things, and they do what they like, and they get the results that they like, so that's fine. But yeah, there was some other stuff. If I have one skill in this world, and I really don't, I'm really not a skilled person. It might appear that I am a skilled person, but it is all a fraud. I know just enough about a lot of stuff to make it look like I know what I'm talking about. But the truth of the matter is, I have no real skills, except for possibly one. And my one... My one real skill is that I can weather models fairly well. I wouldn't say I'm the greatest in the world. But, you know, if you need your model railroad to look old, I am the guy you want to call. And so, the truth of the matter is, I'm kind of thinking I want to do some kind of Hot Wheels car conversion. Do some kind of custom vehicle. Just to have it. You know, I'm not a car guy at all. But it occurs to me, I could go down to the dollar store, spend a dollar on a pack of, like, three cars. Right, so I could go to the dollar store and get some cars, or go to the thrift store and go around to thrift stores and look for Hot Wheels cars and get a few. You know, I'm going to have to get a car that I want to modify. And then there's going to have to be some donor cars where I take wheels and or engines and other accessories off of other cars to put them on the custom car. Oh my God, I'm not in good shape. So obviously I'm not going to do this today. But this is something to think about. for the future, and I can put together some kind of custom car really cheaply. Oh, there was something else I was going to say about that, but now I can't remember what it was. I am having to stop every few minutes to have coughing attacks. It's unpleasant. Oh, now I'm getting kind of hot, so I don't think I'm going to be able to drink my hot tea for very much longer. Oh, God, I feel like crap. I was going to say one other thing about customizing toy cars. But now I don't remember what it was. I don't remember. Oh yeah, I do remember now. One thing that I was sort of surprised to learn, but then in hindsight really wasn't all that surprised, is there are places, and I learned this from the guy who was restoring Hot Wheels cars, there are stores online where you can get reproduction original Hot Wheels parts. And I about puked when I heard that, you know, a set of wheels cost $7. And this guy's buying paint that's $7 an ounce. I'm like, dude, I can get you that paint for $2.50. I thought that was crazy. Plus, it's airbrush paint, so it's watered down. It's, you know, six parts of water. Could also get, like, original, quote, glass, end quote, you know, the little plastic windshields and stuff. This guy spent $10 on one of those. I'm like, dude, that is a 10-cent piece of, okay, do whatever you need. And special tools for removing the wheels and all this crazy stuff. And I thought, that's hilarious. That's hilarious because if there is a store that sells reproduction restoration parts for Hot Wheels cars, that means that there is a community large enough to support this store. That means there's a lot of people out there who are restoring and or modifying Hot Wheels cars, which I found to be fascinating, but really, I shouldn't be surprised. I'm aware that these cultures exist. You know, you can find weird toy stuff. Hi, Peppa. Here comes my kitty. I shouldn't be surprised. I'm aware that there's a Hot Wheels culture out there. I didn't know how in-depth it was, so it makes me feel good to know that there are stores that sell Hot Wheels parts. And my brother and I, we had some Hot Wheels cars when we were children, but, you know, we just weren't car people. I don't know, I have many theories about why that didn't come about, but, you know, we don't have time. It takes me about an hour or more to explain how I was raised and why we're not car people. But still. Oh, with all my various modeling experience, I think I could find a couple of old Hot Wheels cars and I bet I could do them up something pretty cool. I'd like to find a tea bucket or something and really turn that into a sweet rat rod. That would be cool. And, you know, I'd love to tell you more about it, but I don't feel well at all, and I need to go. So you have been listening to the Dubious, Oh My God, Why Am I So Sick in the Middle of Summer Committee, a show that airs every single day at 1930 UTC right here on Anon Radio. My name is Tobe, and I don't know what I'm going to do, but I got to go. Bye-bye.
This is the end of the line for me. The end of the line, yes.